Well, Professor Adrian Savile, who teaches economics and finance at Gibbs, had a particularly interesting post the other day, drawing attention to the success of Norway's sovereign wealth fund. There's a reason why Nordic countries always rank among having some of the happiest citizens on earth, despite spending around half the year, maybe I'm exaggerating, in near darkness most of the day. Successive governments in that country, particularly Norway, but in other Nordic countries too, have taken very good decisions how best to secure their citizens' long-term prosperity. And part of that has been through the creation of sovereign wealth funds, which are a politically delightful tool in a country like South Africa, where government is often berated for being unstrategic, where it is often berated for not being as proactive as many other countries in the world. Invariably, Adrian, South Africans will go, why can we not also have a sovereign wealth fund? I think Tito Mboweni mentioned it at one time. I'm not sure if the current finance minister has talked about it at all, but it is an attractive idea, isn't it?
It's a very attractive idea, Bruce. And the reason why we don't have one, it's not why we can't have one. We can have one. Any country can have a sovereign wealth fund that, you know, it most obviously is built out of having an endowment of natural resources. And any country can choose to do it, but most don't. And there's a, it lands up in a very big distinction between, you know, what we could call resource-cursed and resource-blessed countries. And the resource-cursed countries are well-known. Many of them are African, but not exclusively African. A lot of Latin American economies are resource-cursed. But by choosing to build a sovereign wealth fund, it's at least one of the passages to turning a resource curse into a blessing.
What are the requirements for a country to have a sovereign wealth fund? For a country like South Africa, which is pays R1 billion a day in interest on its borrowings, where it has got a huge social net that needs support, where its tax collections are insufficient to meet its spending. It is in debt, it is in trouble in terms of not an increasing proportion of its annual budget is spent on non-productive things, so things that don't bring growth. Yeah. How could South Africa go about it?
Well, if you look at the successful funds around the world, and you've spoken about Norway's fund, which incidentally, it translates into wealth in the fund of about $290,000 for every citizen of the country. it's an eye-watering number. And they're not alone. We can find many other successful examples. You know, other big funds include China's Investment Corporation, the Kuwait Investment Authority, Temasek, the Singaporean fund, is probably, you know, well known to many listeners. I would suggest that there's three things that are necessary to...
And then he goes silent. Don't go silent on me, Professor Adrian Savile.
Have I gone silent?
Oh, there you are. You disappeared. And you said there are things that are meant to be... And then you just were like, you were keeping secrets from us. But
well,
that's okay. What needs to be present?
So the three things that need to be present are institutions that are capable of implementing this and managing and governing. The second is a clear set of rules or principles. And this isn't about the fund, but rather the fiscal rules of what you do with your sovereign wealth that comes from natural resources. And then the third is you need intent. You need, you know, that you're going to put your heart and your common purpose into building this fund. And importantly, you know, a sovereign wealth fund is designed not just for today's citizens. It recognizes, in part, that the fact that you discovered the resources doesn't make them yours. You know, if we're going to be a little bit animated, we could say this belongs to all Norwegians.
And therefore, it raises the issue for a country like South Africa, where there is a mineral resources regime, where there is private sector exploitation of the resources in return for providing jobs that, you know, provide a tax flow for the government, in return for providing profits, which provide taxes for the government, in return for royalties, which was a relatively new addition in the last 10, 15 years for the country. There is a school of thought that says, well, we should do what Norway did, and Norway nationalized its oil assets, and therefore it is the best way to follow. And it's only the best way to follow, of course, if you trust the people who are doing the nationalizing, which isn't always the case, perhaps, in South Africa.
So, you know, that's the point, Bruce, about institutions, is institutions are absolutely imperative to make sure that the resource is well managed, that the assets are well governed, appropriately allocated, administered, and so on. You know, that's why the institutions are so critical. And if we look at the cases of the two good examples we've got in this conversation, Singapore's Temasek and the Norwegian fund, absolutely. You know, what they suggest is that it's not ownership that matters as much as the management of those assets. So put them in, forget about the ownership, put them in the right hands, and you'll get a result that is a very powerful outcome.
It's fascinating, Adrian. It really is, particularly at a time, and this is a slight hospital pass, but let's go there anyway, where, you know, David Mackay at Mining Max. We're going there. And David Mackay at Mining Max was telling us earlier today that, you know, a deal, an acquisition by BHP Group of Anglo American is not necessarily in the best interest of the country. It's quite tough.
It may not be. Anglo American, unfortunately, has sat on assets that have struggled for some time. The platinum assets, probably the most obvious case in point. Other assets, very strong cash generators. But interestingly, you know, when BHP has proposed this transaction, they have suggested that the South African assets need to get left behind. That's a big statement in that proposed transaction. If it were to transpire, I think one of the gems that, no pun intended, that Billiton is after is the copper assets in Latin America.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. That's the what has been stated. Professor Adrian Saville, thank you. The Professor of Economics and Finance at Gibbs. Just a really interesting post. And then the reactions to it are, well, you see, we should also have one. Yes, we should. But it's not just as complicated as saying, let's, get a blank check and start buying assets, and that we can then hold as custodians for future generations to ensure long-term national wealth. Unfortunately, you do have to trust the custodians of that wealth, would you?